With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. Officials say Attorney General Jason Roundsburg was distracted when he struck and killed a Highmore resident on the night of September 12th. They declined to say how he was distracted, but are releasing the crash report and a photo of Roundsburg's car. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
The report says Roundsburg was traveling westbound on U.S. Highway 14 and entered the north shoulder where he struck and killed Joseph Beaver, who was walking on the north shoulder. The report says Beaver was carrying a flashlight. The direction he was walking is not available. Officials say the exact time of the crash is still under investigation, but the report says it was at 10:21 p.m. Department of Public Safety Secretary Craig Price says they've provided the Hyde County State's Attorney with a lot of materials from the investigation. He says they're still waiting on Beaver's autopsy from the Ramsey County, Minnesota coroner.
Many of the things that we're waiting on are out of our control as far as timeline goes. We are working as efficiently as we can to get through that information because we do realize the time frame that we're looking at as long as it's been since the middle of September. But we're certainly continuing to stay focused on that, and folks are keying in and putting their times towards those things. And when we do have that information, it will be forwarded as quickly as possible.
Governor Kristi Noem is declining to say whether she thinks the attorney general should resign until the investigation wraps up.
I'm going to refrain from expressing my personal opinions until the investigation is totally complete and the state's attorney makes a decision on what charges, if any, will be filed. Although much of what we have is completed now and has been turned over to the state's attorney, when those final details come in, she will be making those decisions with her team on what charges would be appropriate or not.
A toxicology taken on Attorney General Roundsburg at 1:30 p.m. the day after the accident shows no alcohol in his system. Officials also ordered a toxicology report on Beaver. The results are still pending. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
In a normal year, fall is a busy season for Sioux Falls hospitals. This year, they're struggling under the added weight of COVID-19. Nearly half of the state's current COVID hospitalizations are receiving care in Sioux Falls. Local hospital leaders say staff are exhausted and frustrated as they watch many continue business as usual. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
As of Monday, more than half of the state's COVID-19 hospitalizations are in the Sioux Falls area. Chief Medical Officer Mike Elliott with Avera McKennan Hospital confirms patients are two to a room in some cases.
Not every room in our ICU is capable of that. Frankly, we don't have enough staff to do it in every room, even if we wanted to. But yes, that's the reality of the situation. We have had to double up some rooms with some patients.
Dr. Elliott says staff are stretched thin.
We just don't have enough critical care trained nurses. We don't have enough intensivists. We don't have enough people to take care of all of these patients that are coming in.
But health systems are not yet bringing in National Guard members for additional staff. Dr. Mike Wilde is chief medical officer for the Sanford USD Medical Center.
We're very conscious about how we would go about doing that, and they've been more than willing partners and great to work with.
It's unclear what would trigger a call to the National Guard. Dr. Wilde says Sanford is working with staffing agencies to consider other possibilities. Dr. Elliott with Avera McKennan says caregivers aren't just exhausted, they're frustrated.
There's this horrible disconnect between what they see when they walk through the halls of the hospital, when they take care of these patients, when they hold a patient's hand as their last heartbeat occurs or as their last breath occurs. And then they go out into the community and they watch people gathering in masses of 100, 200 people, not wearing their masks, not seeming to understand that this is real, folks. People are dying from this.
Dr. Elliott says people aren't powerless in the face of this pandemic. He says they can protect others by taking the same precautions health leaders have pointed to for months. Stay 6 feet apart, wear a mask, wash your hands. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry in Sioux Falls.
The first hooves are on the ground at a new buffalo range in south central South Dakota. It could become the world's largest Native American-owned buffalo herd. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
Wizipon Little Elk says there's a deep meaning underlying the project and its Lakota language name. Our project is called Wolakota. And what that means in our language is to live the Lakota way of life. Our identity is linked from the health and welfare and well-being of buffalo. And when they're strong, we're going to be strong again as well.
Little Elk is the CEO of the Rosebud Economic Development Corporation on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. The corporation is converting 40 square miles of ranch land on the reservation into a massive buffalo range. They're working with the World Wildlife Fund and getting excess bison from federal government herds. The first buffalo arrived recently, 50 from Badlands National Park and another 50 from Theodore Roosevelt National Park. TJ Heinert is a range assistant with the project.
They're a beautiful, majestic animal. They're huge, they're powerful, and just the meaning being native and what they stand for us, I mean, it's a powerful feeling that you can't even really explain. It's so electrifying. Once they're actually there, you're looking at them, you hear them, you see them move. I mean, they're an amazing animal.
Rotational grazing will keep buffalo moving throughout the range. Range manager Jimmy Doyle says that mimics the way buffalo moved across the plains.
This will be a really neat opportunity to kind of showcase the ecological benefits of well-managed grazing, but doing it with basically the original tool that did it in the first place.
The corporation wants to grow the herd to 1,500 animals. Eventually, some will be sold every year. Future plans include a meat processing facility and educational programs for Lakota youth. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper.
The overall economic index of a monthly survey of Midwest business leaders hit a 16-year high for October, but the manufacturing sector of the economy remains stunted from the coronavirus outbreak. The overall measure of the Mid-America Business Conditions Index improved to 70.2 in October from September's already strong 65.1. Any score above 50 on the survey's indexes suggests growth. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey and says that even with the high index level, manufacturing output remains below levels seen before the pandemic. The monthly survey covers South Dakota and 8 other states. A company expanding to Rapid City plans to create up to 150 jobs. Satcom Marketing is based in Minneapolis. It does sales work for the broadband and telecommunications industries. The company will open a call center at an existing building in Northwest Rapid City. Renovations are finishing up and hiring will begin soon. Elevate Rapid City helped the company find a space to lease. Elevate is a local economic development partnership. The jobs start at $13 per hour. Average pay with commission ranges from $14 to $18 per hour.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.